This is Doug Miller. Moses was a faithful man, and God honored that faith over and over and over again. Stick around. Let's talk about the Bible.
Communication. Of all God's creatures, man does it best, and he does it through the medium of language, both written and spoken. Dialogue is a program dedicated to the belief that God has communicated truthfully with the most intelligent of his earthly creatures, man. We therefore invite you to enter into dialogue as we discuss the principles, truths, and foundations of God's Word. Now here's your host, Dr. Doug Miller.
Thank you, Paul. That was Paul Sublett. This is Doug Miller. The program is Dialogue, and we are back with you again, as we are every time at this time, every week, to look into this Word of God with you. And I know there are many of you listening out there, because we hear from you, and what a blessing that is to us to know that we are indeed reaching people. And that lives are being changed. We thank you for writing to us. It's just a great blessing to us to know that our listeners are out there, and that, of course, there are many who don't write, but we always are thankful for those that we do hear from. So here we are again. We're looking at the 11th chapter of Hebrews, the faith chapter, and we've been at this for a while. I had, as I said last week, expected to get through this a lot quicker than we have. But once we got into it, it just kind of became impossible to go any faster. We're looking at verse 23, actually, this time, and at Moses. So bring your Bibles, call a friend, tell them to listen in as well. Now, Dialogue is brought to you by Dialogue Ministries Incorporated, a nonprofit organization that exists solely for the purpose of getting this word out. And as I said, we are utterly dependent on our listeners here. We got a low-budget operation, I'll assure you, and we intend to keep it that way. Don't need to have our funds eaten up with overhead by elaborate schemes and things like that. Just keep it low and keep it simple and keep that word going out. Love to hear from you. Our mailing address, Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. Now, if you didn't get that, keep your writing materials handy, and Paul Sublett will give it to you at the end of the broadcast. All right, we have Moses. Moses, there is no doubt about this guy. No doubt about him. And when you look at his life, here is something that all of us can learn a great deal from. Because he was born, and you see the hand of God on him from the very beginning. Now, if you are saved, and even if you aren't saved, but you might be saved later on, and of course God knows whether or not you're going to be saved. He knows everything. He knows whether or not you're to be saved. He knows who's going to be in heaven with him. And if you are saved, if you are one of these, you can rest assured that the blessings of God have been on you from the very beginning, even though you didn't know it. God's hand has been over you, and protecting you and watching you and bringing you along. And when you see Moses here, here's a guy, you know, he escaped death even when he was a little child, before he could even know about it. And we know the story, how Pharaoh was going to kill all the male children that were Hebrews. And Moses' mother went and hit him in a basket. We've got that in verse 23 of chapter 11 here. Put him out in the river. And Pharaoh's daughter came down, didn't she? Isn't this amazing? Who could have known this? Who would even have thought of this? That Pharaoh's daughter would find this child and take him in, and that Pharaoh, who had given the order to kill all these children, would wind up raising one of them right in his household. And one of them that would ultimately be used by God to bring down judgment on Egypt in such a way that it has never been before and won't be again until the great tribulation, which is, you know, coming pretty quickly, I'm persuaded. But here you have Moses, raised in Pharaoh's household. And we have some things told to us about Moses that we don't have anywhere else, and they're right here in this book of Hebrews. And just like we saw earlier in the fourth verse of the 11th chapter, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. And when we were talking about that, if you'll remember, I pointed out this verse makes it clear to us why Abel brought the better sacrifice. He and Cain had a word and a commandment from God. Now, we don't get that from Genesis, and it doesn't say that directly even here. But we know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, and therefore if Abel offered that sacrifice by faith, he had a word of God for it, or there could not have been faith. And we know things about Moses in this chapter of Hebrews, in this 11th chapter, that we don't know anywhere else. It's kind of like Melchizedek when we were looking at him. We know things about Melchizedek and the priesthood of Melchizedek that we don't know anywhere else except here in the Hebrews. Here's where we learn it. So let's take a look at Moses. Moses' parents put him in a little boat of some sort, push him out into the river, hide him in the rushes, and Pharaoh's daughter finds him. And she raises him as her son. She raises him as her son. Let's look here. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now look at that. Refuses. And this means that he was at one point called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. That's how he had grown up. But by faith, he refused that. There came a time when he said, I am not Pharaoh's daughter. I am a Hebrew. Now, if you ask how he knew this, I assume it's because his true and actual mother had told him. We know from the account in Exodus that the little girl, Moses' sister, Miriam, I assume, told Pharaoh's daughter, shall I find you a wet nurse for the child? And she said, yes, do so. So the little girl went and got Moses' actual mother, who nursed him. And I'm assuming that the mother taught him about who he actually was and probably told him, now, son, I want you to stay in the palace there and grow up because you'll be safe there. There's no safety over here with us. We are living like slaves. Now, I want you to think about that. You are the son of Pharaoh's daughter. You are heir to, look at verse 26 down there, all the treasures of Egypt. Look at that. The treasures of Egypt, most powerful country in the world at the time. Put yourself in his place. At some point, you turn your back on that. You say, I do not intend to go that route anymore. I will have no part of it. I would rather be reckoned among the Lord's people. In fact, we have here the reproach of Christ. He esteemed the reproach of the Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. The reproach of the anointed one. Now you might say, well, I've read the story in Exodus many times. I don't see anything in there about the reproach of the Christ. Once again, you have to understand that Moses was being led by God, and he was under the direct control of God. God's hand was in this. And the reproach of Christ here is real simple to understand when you think of it in this light. God, what God is doing, particularly in this dispensation, is all centered in his Son. Let's even go back to the earlier dispensations. Let's go back to the Old Testament and the Mosaic Law. What God was doing there still was all centered in his Son. It is the Son of God who is the very center of all of God's activities in this earth. Redemption comes through the Son. I don't care which dispensation you're living in. The Son is the one who deals with the sin problem. And in this world, which is under the control of Satan, to step out and disassociate yourself from that and go another way. The way of God and the way of God's people is to, as it were, pick up and take up the reproach of the Christ. Because in the people of God, which were the Jews at this point, whether or not they realized it, or not the Jews, but Israel, whether or not they realized it, the people of God in this world are separated unto God. They are a separate people, and there's a reproach that falls on them. The world looked at them as the offscourings, the trash, mere slaves, chattel, to be despised and to be treated however they wanted to treat them. You work them to death and then throw them away. And that's how the world saw them. I want to tell you something, friends. Paul says, writing to Timothy, all those who will live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. The Lord Jesus told his disciples the very night before he was crucified that they would be persecuted. He said, the day is coming when those who kill you will think they're doing God a service. The Lord said more than once look, if that's how they treated me, how do you think they're going to treat you? They'll treat you exactly the way they've been treating me. So all of you believers out there, if you are suffering reproach for the sake of Christ, look at Moses here and understand it was by faith. You hold to the line. You hold to your testimony for Christ Jesus. And you're going to do it by faith. You're going to walk by faith and not by sight because you haven't received any reward for this yet. I know people who have said to me, I think of a particular woman who used to say to me, and she was having a lot of problems, there's no doubt about it. And she would say, how long is God going to let this go on? And I would say, I don't know. I don't know, but I do know this, that he is very well aware of it. If you're in the oven, he knows exactly how long to leave you in there. And here is this man, Moses. You want to talk about walking by faith and not by sight. He had no idea what he was going to do. He just knew that he no longer wished to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He would rather be with the Lord's people and be identified with them and be a part of them than to have all the riches of Egypt. Now, I want to tell you, that's an interesting choice to have to make, isn't it? Have you ever known anyone who became famous? Well, I knew a young lady once who became a very famous movie star. And at the time I knew her, she said she was, and I would have thought that she was a believer. But where is she and what is she now? Well, I don't know. I don't know if she's saved or not, but I know that her life took a very different turn than what mine did. And I have thought about her many times. And I have thought, what would you do, Doug Miller, if you had placed before you what she had placed before her? Would you forsake the Lord and go after the glittering things of the world and the treasures of the world? Or would you hold faithful to the Lord? Well, fortunately, the Lord, knowing my weakness, has never allowed that to be put in front of me and dangled in front of me. But it was with Moses. And Moses had to make a choice. You come to that fork in the road, you go this way or you go that way. You just can't stand there looking at the two choices. And Moses made his choice. And he esteemed the reproach of Christ greater than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. There was a reward out there. And he understood that there was a reward. And he forsook Egypt, we see in verse 27, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. And we know Moses left Egypt, went out to the backside of the desert when he was 40 years old. Now think of that. For those of you who are out there, maybe you're 40 years old, maybe you're saying to yourself, well, my best days are over. Friend, as long as you are living and walking this earth, your best days are not over. If you are saved and you are still here walking this earth, God has a reason for it. And he has a reason for your being here. And I don't care how old you are. Moses was 40 years old when he went out there. And he went over to Midian and he got himself a Gentile bride. And he was another 40 years herding sheep around on the backside of the desert. And he had so far done nothing. And when he was 80 years old, God called him, sent him back to lead the children of Israel out of captivity. Now, what does that say to you? I think that ought to speak volumes to every one of you. I don't care, once again, who you are or what you are. If you are saved, if you're not saved, you need to get saved. Shouldn't be going around unsaved. If you're not saved, why don't you get saved? Why don't you just trust the Lord right now, who died for you and was buried and rose again, and just get saved? But if you're saved and you're saying, well, Lord's not using me for anything, I'm just taking up space here, please don't waste my time with that. The fact that you are still here means, once again, that the Lord's not through with you. He's got something for you to do. You just keep going forward. Keep asking him. Keep seeking. You'll find. Keep knocking. It'll be open. You know, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise. Now, I don't know what Moses was doing back there all the time on the backside of the desert, but I can assume that he, because we know he had faith, we see it here. We know he believed in God. And finally, God called him. And the next thing we have, it passes, you know, the writer of Hebrews leaps over all of the things that went on in Egypt, the plagues of Egypt, and he leaps forward to the night of the Passover. And what a tremendous story we have here. The 10th and the last plague, writer of Hebrews skips the first nine. The 10th and the last plague, God told Moses, I will send the angel of death through Egypt tonight, and I will smite the firstborn dead. Now, remember last week I told you that Genesis is a book about the secondborn, and you see throughout Genesis the blessing always falling on the secondborn. What a picture we have of it here. And the story is told back in the book of Exodus, and if you go back and you can go back and read it, and you will find that God told Moses, I'm turning back there even as I'm talking to you, tonight I've got one last plague I'm going to send on these guys, and they'll let you go. They'll drive you out. And the story is actually told in the 12th chapter of Exodus, and this is well worth your looking at. And we'll spend some time on this one. Maybe we'll get through it today, maybe we won't. We can always come back to it. But look, here is Egypt, which is a picture, a type of the world, under the rule of Pharaoh, who is a type of the prince of this world. And if you don't think this world is not under the rule of the devil, you go back and read what the Lord Jesus said in the Gospels. The prince of this world, the whole world, wrote John, lieth in the lap of the wicked one. And this is exactly what we have in Egypt, a country that was self-sustaining, it thought, because it lived off the waters of the Nile River, whereas when you get up to the promised land, you know, you have to live off the rain that comes down from heaven. Big difference. Big difference. But let's get back to Egypt. God said there's one last plague. I'm going to pass through, or I'll send the angel of death to pass through tonight, and I will smite the firstborn dead. Now look at this. The firstborn under the curse of death. How about the secondborn? No. Don't hear anything about the secondborn or the others. But if you are a firstborn, and this, if this doesn't speak to those of you out there who are listening to me, who are, you're not saved and you know you're not saved, or you may have thought you were saved, but now you're not so sure. And if I say to you, well, When did you get saved and how were you born again? How'd that happen? Can you tell me about it? You would say, well, I'm not so sure I can tell you about it. I'm not so sure I know. If you have doubts about it, the problem is that you are probably not saved at all. You might be, but you are probably not, because it is not characteristic of a born-again man or woman that they don't know that they're saved. If you are not saved, you fall under, you are the firstborn, and you are under the condemnation of death. And I'm not talking about just dying physically. I'm talking about eternal death, which is separation from Almighty God. And notice the remedy that God gives to Moses here. Slay a lamb. Strike the blood of the lamb on the doorpost, the lintel and the side, the upper doorpost and the two side doorposts of the house, and go inside and stay under the sign of the blood of the lamb and roast that lamb with fire and bitter herbs and eat it together. If they go outside, if they're not under the sign of the blood, they will die. Now, the picture here could not possibly be clearer. We have here, we saw last time, looking at Abraham offering up Isaac, the picture of the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. We have it here again. God keeps giving us this picture, doesn't he? He keeps bringing it back to us again and again and again. But here we have the lamb roast with fire. Now, fire throughout the scriptures is a picture of judgment. No more water, but fire next time. God will judge this world. Once again, we have John the Baptist saying of Messiah, he will baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Well, the Holy Spirit baptism has occurred. The baptism by fire has not yet occurred. For those of you who teach otherwise, you're teaching wrong. It's just that simple. The baptism by fire is the judgment that will occur, and the Lord Jesus, to whom all judgment has been committed, is the one who will bring in the baptism of fire on this world and will judge by fire. But the Lord Jesus himself went under the judgment of God in order that we might be saved. He was roast in the fire of God's judgment. A friend of mine, Don Welburn, used to say all of the sacrifices in Israel, and they were all pictures of the Lord Jesus, they all slew the lamb first and then put him in the fire. There was one lamb who went into the fire alive, and that was our Lord Jesus Christ. And he cried from the cross under the judgment of God, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And bowed his head and died. And here you have the lamb roast with fire for us. And notice back in Hebrews again, it's by faith that Moses did this. By faith. This is Doug Miller, and this is Dialogue.
Exploring and considering the revelation of the God who created the vast star fields and the simple starfish. Have we communicated with you? Then why not communicate with us? Write to Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. That's Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. Be with us next week for Dialogue.